I don't know if that means we're on the air or not. This is the Don and Wynn Who Knows What's Happening show. My name is Winfrey, but I don't know if I'm on the air. And my co-host is Don Newsom, and he's probably under the table trying to adjust his streams. Don, are you there? Are you playing the intro music?
Oh, no.
Daniel, are you there?
Yeah. I'm here. Can you hear me okay, guys?
Oh, I can hear you. Did you do the intro music, Don?
Well, you bet we did.
we did?
Absolutely.
So was my introduction just on the air just then?
Your introduction just went on the air, yes.
It did. On the internet wave?
On the internet wave, yeah.
Okay.
We're there.
For those of you that are tuning in for the first time, I already introduced myself, and that's Don Newsom in the background, who is the founder of BBS, and who is bringing all this wonderful inspiration and information on the BBS radio network. And we always say Saturday night at 6 p.m. for Don and I to argue for an hour. And in between arguing, we sometimes have guests, and sometimes we have interesting things or channelings or people that paint auras purple, like we did. Was that 2 weeks ago, Don? Or was that last week?
Yeah, that actually was a couple weeks ago. I just wanted to inform our audience here that there may be a little choppiness in particular here because two people are on cells and I'm on a VoIP. So getting the three of us in clearly is going to be fun.
Okay. And we know we have at least one listener, which is Don's mother. We say, Hildy, hi, Hildy. We're saying hello to you.
And Wynn, you got to keep back from your mouthpiece just a little bit because the... It's the, what do you want to call that? You're vibrating. You're vibrating your mouthpiece.
Is that better?
Well, yeah, just maybe a little softer.
Pardon me?
There you go. Perfect.
Okay. So, Don, what would you like to say to our listening audience tonight?
Well, you know, I'm pretty excited to be here. We've got a fabulous guest coming up here today with us. You know, it's not often, like you said, that we have the opportunity to interview guests, and this is Daniel Jacob. So,
well, most of the time, the guests are too scared to be on the show with us.
And they should be.
You know, I don't blame them.
Well, you're a scary guy, Wynn.
Well, I don't know who's more scary, you or me.
Well, you're definitely more scary than I am.
You think so?
Well, nobody's bit me yet, so.
Pardon me?
Nobody's bitten me yet, so I feel safe.
Well, you're safe. Don, we have Daniel Jacobs, right?
Correct.
Jason, see, we don't even know who our guest is. That's how good we are. Don, why don't you introduce our guest?
Well, it's Daniel Jacob.
Daniel Jacobs. Oh, I was right.
Daniel, why don't you introduce yourself? That's kind of how we do it on this program.
Well, hi there. I'm Daniel.
Daniel.
Let's just go with that.
We'll start there, and then we'll get to David later.
That's right. That's right. Well, I am a writer and a conscious channel for a group soul called The Reconnections. I also do a lot of research on Earth and planetary changes, physical changes, and all this thing called transmutation, which we may actually have happen here in the next hour from what it sounds like. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are familiar with.
We're very nonlinear, Daniel.
So I've gathered, and that's cool. I can dance for that.
Excellent. Daniel, to be honest, we're just two busy guys having too much fun. And we ended up doing a radio program together, so here we are.
That's right. That's right.
Don, I wasn't having fun. You were having fun.
I'm always having fun.
That's right.
We have our first caller. Shall we take him, or shall we...
No, let's talk a little more to Daniel. People don't even know who the heck he is.
Good point.
Tell our caller to call back.
Good point.
Okay?
All right.
Daniel, you have a group soul that talks to you, like, in your own consciousness, yes?
Yes, yes. There is a group soul of energies who have volunteered to come and serve as sort of a bridge between 3D consciousness and that which is opening up. And
now, Daniel, I got to Daniel, before you continue.
Yeah.
Notice, you have not studied our website or me, right?
I actually got a little bit of a look at your website this week, but I'm.
Which website?
The one about Edgar Cayce and the book you wrote.
Yeah. Edgar Cayce, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce.
And
right?
David Wilcock, and that looks pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you something else. While I was writing this book, I had two group souls start talking to me.
Oh, boy.
Identifying themselves as the Council of Elohim and the Ra Confederacy.
Wow.
And for the past 5 years, I've had endless and endless conversations with voices through two personal relationships and my dreams that have identified themselves as group souls. So I want you to know that you're not talking to an amateur and that I understand very well. In fact, oftentimes, these same group souls talk to many, many different people and use different names because it gets confusing.
Well, actually, the recons talk about this thing we call Radio K-God, which is a kind of a stream of energy that flows beyond all of us. And I'm sure that Don established that, too, way back when, probably. But Radio K-God is just, you know, you get this idea that we're all tuned into the same source and we're just getting a little bit of variations on the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And people just need a little bit of translation into their particular vernacular, but pretty much the concepts are the same. Mm-hmm. I started talking to the Reconnections back in 1991. I wrote my first transmission from them on 11/11/91. And I know everybody has their own version of the 11/11 story, but mine was about meeting them and beginning to talk from them about what's coming up on the earth. And one of the best, most complimentary things I often hear is people will write and say, after having read things from the website, I actually have two websites out there with information, and they would say that I read your stuff and I felt something inside myself almost as though I had written it myself. And that felt very complimentary to me, not like it was a copyright infringement, but it was more like a resonance, you know.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I'm driving now. I'm driving, so I said that.
I know. Win.
Don, your voice is very weak.
I know.
Yeah, we can hardly hear you, Don.
Okay. But Win, your voice is breaking into the phone hugely.
My voice is breaking into the phone?
Well, you're hitting the mouthpiece with your lip or something because it's vibrating. And it's causing all these weird signals over here at the studio.
Hold it away from your mouth a little bit.
Yeah, try a little softer approach.
I did it away from my mouth right now. There we go. Is that better?
Yeah. You know, softer approach works. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well,
okay.
Now I think we're in the groove of things.
That's better, right?
Well, it's getting there.
Yeah.
As long as you keep quiet, don't say too many loud words.
Try to speak up because I'm really having trouble.
Yeah, I know you're.
I'm really having trouble hearing you.
Well, you're on a cell and you're driving and you're got a very poor
connection.
I'm driving,
so I have a little road noise in the background.
Yeah.
So, Daniel, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, can you hear me okay, Don?
I can hear you perfectly.
Excellent.
Perfectly,
okay.
Daniel. Thank you.
You're very strong, Daniel.
So just to kind of go on from there, I began writing these transmissions back in 91 and posting them on my website, which is right now www.reconnections.net. It was particularly around the time of the 12/12, which was in 1994, which is an activation of mind and spirit, bringing together a planetary one-self soul, you know, a one being here on the planet. And a lot of the themes of the transmissions were about universal oneness and multidimensionality, meaning that we're all one part of the same one being, but we're fragmented and divided up into however many forms of that one being we need to experience everything there is that we want to experience in physical form.
Mm-hmm.
And we've started writing about, like I said, transmutation, portals, dimensions.
Let me ask you a question. Excuse me to interrupt you. I'll forget my question if I don't say it. When somebody starts to get communications like this, believe me, I've had this. I'm in the position of having had communications. How did you know? How did it first feel the first time it happened to you? How did you come to the point of validating that it was legitimate and positive?
Don, you were saying something?
Yeah, I was just saying, when? Can you hear me okay, my friend?
Yeah.
You're overly loud, and it is causing distortion on the lines. I'm just trying to tell you that because...
Is that better now?
Well, I think it's more how loud you are, how loud you're getting. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Every week you've been complaining to me that I'm not loud enough.
Oh, no. When you're plenty loud for the world. But this particular show, you might need to tone it down just a little, my friend.
I moved the microphone very far from my mouth.
Yeah, that might be the best thing.
Is that better right now?
Yeah, that's better.
Much better, thank you.
Okay, well, I'll just leave it right there, okay?
Loving it.
You were asking about validation of the messages coming through, and I think it's an excellent question because one of the biggest problems people have with opening their channels is they're afraid they're going to get snagged by something dark and weird and used for unholy purposes. And in my experience, I had had enough channeling apart from this particular involvement that I know what my own signature vibration is, and I know when it's with a resonant tone. It's more like a knowing or a feeling that I have coming through me. I do have to admit that when I first started writing some of this information, it was so unusual. It was like nothing I'd ever really encountered before. And the deeper I got into it, which had to do more with translating your life experience from a point of view of oneness, like we are all part of the same one being, and that whatever you see in people in the world around you, you see as a mirror of some part of yourself. And so pretty soon you begin thinking in that kind of one-self way so that no longer are you dealing with others. You know, a lot of people will say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get involved with some others who are going to pervert my purpose. And the point is that there are no really others in your universe. You are the one that's there, and everybody is sort of a mirror of a facet of who we are. So... Little wise along the way, we started to develop this thing called shadow work, which is where people get a chance to address those, quote, others that they find so offensive. And in shadow work, we take a look at either the dark shadows, which are people and things we see that are so insulting to us, we say, that could never be me. That can't be in my universe. Get out of here. And then the other side of the shadow work is what we call golden shadow work, which is people who are so good, so wonderful, that you can't imagine yourself ever being that either. And so in a way, it's sort of like a round robin of self-rejection at every level until a person is able to work through the idea of, well, maybe this could be a part of me, some part that I've forgotten. And indeed, when I started working with them, the guides defined themselves as, we are the reconnections. We represent all those parts of your expanded self that you had to forget about in order to become Daniel. And I thought, wow, you mean there's more to me than I ever thought there was? And indeed, there is. And I've learned about it in these last 15, 16 years of working with them. They originally came through in a hypnotherapy session, which I know you'll find interesting, Wynn, since... Casey was known as the sleeping prophet, and yet I wasn't particularly involved in hypnotherapy or even deep trance work. I call myself a conscious channel, because if it's all me, there's no way where for me to go away. That's just the emphasis of this particular teaching. You know, it's all you and a facet of you, so just groove with it and let it be and have fun, like you guys are talking about.
You know, Daniel, I must say, thank you. Thank you for being on our program. I say that because first of all, your name. I like the name, Daniel Jacobs. I mean, the name just
everyone said two Bible names. Oh, my God.
Right. Well, the names ring. I like the names. But then I see your picture, and I got a warm feeling. I'm kind of big on that. And when I heard your voice the first time, I just knew. I knew that I would like this guy. I instantly would have an affinity for you. And I feel that now very strongly. In fact, extremely so. So I must say, thank you. Thank you for being on this program. What you're doing and the information you've been giving on your website and throughout is, wow. The things that you cover are amazing. And the one, and for example, what you just were talking about, that happens to be a fear of mine, or had been a fear of mine. You know, when communicating, you wanted to make sure that you didn't... communicate with the wrong entity or, have the wrong experience, although I've had many. But, thank you.
Daniel?
Yes, sir.
Can everybody hear me okay?
I can barely hear you, Don.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a little better?
That's better.
Okay, I actually can turn it up a bit more. I'm pegging
it. Much better, much better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
About time, jeez.
Well, I apologize for that, because I can't tell what you're hearing, but I can tell what the audience is hearing. See, I have two different, one clean out, and then the other feeds back in. So it's hard for me to tell sometimes.
So, Daniel, as these communications are going on, did your group talk about a dimensional shift? Did they talk about the end of a 75,000-year cycle?
Yes.
Did they talk about...
Not specifically about that as a story, although that has come up. That has come through. The recons don't particularly emphasize too much about the specifics of each person's story. They just say that in the multiverse, there is a universe which honors each and every one of these stories. And so if it comes to you strongly and it has the ring of truth to it, a little chip of the planet we call Earth will go off into its own orbit and create a complete reality around that, and the reality will be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not so much involved anymore, although I was in the early years, in declaring the right or the wrong of it, but just simply or even the congruity of it. I'm just more concerned with if it feels resonant within the person who I'm working with, or if it feels resonant with the work I'm doing. If it doesn't, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that this isn't where my focus is meant to be right now.
Well, you know what? That different people bring through different parts of the puzzle. And depending on your, if this is the way I've learned it, they're depending on one's own distortions or your own... wherever you have your own prejudicial point of view, because you can't be in a body and not have something like that.
Well, we call it your itinerary in limitation.
Okay, your itinerary.
Yeah, according to the trip you planned.
Yeah, so they can communicate to each person.
Yes.
But when they get to the limit of your itinerary, until your itinerary should expand, then they won't go any further than that. And, I mean, that's how I've seen it or noticed it.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, there are people who won't sign on for a trip until they know all the details, and the guides tell them, this is meant to be an experiential journey, and if you try to capture it all in your mind first, you're not going to be able to vibrate fast enough to take the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can't all just be mind. You gotta have mind, and you gotta have heart, and you gotta have soul energy. Sometimes you just gotta let go and go wahoo and have
great point. Yes. By the way,
let go of control.
Daniel, I want to introduce you to a fellow who's never been on the air with me on this show for a long time, And that's my twin brother, Douglas. How are you, Doug?
Well, hello there.
Hey, Douglas.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
I'm always fascinated by conversations where people can take in a soul group that imparts wisdom that really gives the individual, even receiving it, breadth and depth to carry that forward. My question, I guess, is I've been through some changes myself, and I had something very dramatic occur to me. I don't know what you call it. I've often read it to be like a near-death experience, but I didn't nearly die. It just happened one moment, and I wasn't expecting it. Now I gather information, and I go deeper within the understanding of a total oneness, a completeness. I don't see opposites. I see how that opposite, actually, the more it becomes opposite, the more it's like it has no opposite.
Yes.
And when I write and I think, that is how I do it. And when I hear a lot of the people that are channeling this information now, they're writing what I'm already thinking. So my question is, in why is it that a person like yourself...
Winfried just called me, and he's no longer on the air with us. He went through a dark patch. and he's off.
We all do that.
Yeah, so we'll have to get back to him, Doug.
Okay. I guess my question is, Daniel, how does one distinguish something outside of them, not outside, it's a part of themselves that takes a part of themselves to show that sort of a information flow outside of a person like myself who seems to understand it, perceive it, get it, and write it without having some sort of outside communicating point?
Well, what you're describing, the guides refer to as a phase shift, which means that you move from a separation mindset, which is what we use to focus in 3D here, and suddenly you flip over into that expanded mindset, which is called the gathering of the one, where it's just like, wham, you're there, you're one with everything and everyone. And then you flip back into it, because oftentimes the movement into that level of consciousness is designed mainly to clear your palate from attachments within certain dimensions, sort of like the sherbet that people serve in the middle of a fine meal. Clear your palate of those old attachments so that you can reconnect with some other part that seems irrelevant now.
Like
and
the
so,
attachments, like, for example, do you eat meat? Do you do things wrong during times of the day? When you go out, are there times when you actually get mad and at the end of the day say, geez, I forgive myself, but I had to forgive myself for something that's, you know, contrary to the better good for everybody or that doesn't have any love in mind? Do you experience that? Do these forces still come through you?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Did you have to ask for this?
Sometimes I ask for it. Sometimes I just have confidence that it's there, and I can feel that it's there.
So
mainly
it's
because
it's a healing thing.
We're operating more in a grace kind of a environment now, rather than a legalistic environment. So the idea of thou shalt not, and so on and so forth. All these laws that we've been functioning under, even though we said we have a grace environment, there isn't a lot of follow-through on that. People are still looking for what's the technique, what's the thing, what's the way
yes.
of life. And
yes.
and the guides are encouraging us to just open up and move spontaneously and just love ourselves where we're at, while at the same time, you know, leave room open for new things too. You know,
okay.
allow new energy.
Somebody
to come.
Says I have a mystery. I have a invisible friend. Let's just not anymore. This invisible friend is talking to me, and would that be unlike what most people, you know, the channel, the information that's coming through? Could that be from a higher source, or could the channel be spiritual? Could it be a ghost from the other side? In that way, it's kind of hard for me because there are channels to the dead ones, and yet there are channels to spirit groups. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
What's real? Is there also channels to ETs?
Yes, don't forget the ETs.
Everything is real, Douglas, wherever it appears, but not everything is relevant. And so what a person has as a responsibility is not necessarily to go out and declare to others, you're right, I'm right, they're wrong, you know, we're wrong. But more along the line to say, is this where I want to focus my attention? Is this what I feel inclined toward?
If it isn't, you can just bless it
on its way.
Daniel, is this something that you're thankful for every day of your life, that this information is coming to you, and so it's almost like a mutual acceptance where it broadens you and more of it comes through you because of your willingness to have that as a truth within your system?
To tell you the truth, it comes through sometimes whether or not I'm
willing or not.
feeling worthy. You know, whether I feel worthy or not, it comes through. Sometimes I'll be stupid in my 3D self in terms of maybe not as tactful as I could be or abrupt or even angry. And suddenly it's like a wash of energy comes through and just comes out with something really, really cool. And you say, wow, you know, that came out of me. And that's the lesson, see, that those darker elements can sit right alongside the lighter elements. The angels can sit right alongside the demons. And everybody gets a place at the table.
Have you ever read a book called The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard?
No.
Because he it went through this process. At the very end of the book, we find that, of course, he is very spiritual, and you have not in any way said anything that anybody in more of a spiritual understanding would naysay. Believe me, not even myself. But this particular gentleman at the very end found that this energy working through him was his higher self. In fact, himself in a future point. Could it be that this is the case within each of us? That's why every time I hear this, it's almost like a feeling. People say, well, I get it through a feeling, not because there's a voice in my head or a ticker tape going through my head, but it's a feeling, it's a knowing, it's a connection to that level. Well, could it be that that connection is you at a model of yourself that perceives yourself in a broader way of awareness?
Absolutely.
So really and truly, you could say it's just me at some point in time that perceives more of myself.
It's my future self coming back and referring to myself in this context. Now, if you've ever listened to the channeling of Bashar through Daryl Anka,
yep,
you'll understand that the Esasani civilization that he translates is supposedly the human race, a hybrid mixture of the humans and the Zeta Reticulans from 150 years in the future coming back and talking to us. So it's like they're saying, we're who you're going to become, and we're coming back here to help you birth yourself and ourselves, and so that we all can benefit. You know, that's the cool part about the fact that these etheric masters come back to help us, because by helping us, they're helping themselves, because the oneness paradigm is completely infused this whole region now, so that they understand that they can't go on and transcend and leave part of themselves behind. So that's why they came back here. And it's the same thing. We've got to reach forward too, because if we just stay back here, the whole thing stalls, you know.
How do you, when let's say a situation confronts you, this situation will allow for a greater well-being ultimately if you do a specific thing or say a certain thing that allows this man more of a gain, at least a gain insofar as you perceive he would feel it. But ultimately, you, on the other hand, would not perceive a gain. You'd not get really a gain outside of that you were gaining, because yourself, through that individual, is gaining. Now, what do I mean by that? Are people that feel these communications prepared to give more of themselves to greater good and not really live for themselves to that fullest extent? Meaning, I would live more vicariously through the people I meet because of my love, trying to ensure their greater happiness, because more greater happiness on the outside of myself will ultimately lead to greater happiness within. Isn't to that
to some degree, there's truth in that, yet in some degree, there can also be, and I'm sorry I put it this way, but an imbalance. When you take that almost too far, then you're out of balance. Would you agree with that?
Well, a lot of people have as a concept of balance. I think you really expressed that well. There was a lot of really good stuff there. We could have a whole conversation about several of those statements you made.
Thank you.
The concept of balance in a reconnection sense is not so much that you've got the scales so that they're even on both sides, mm-hmm. but it's more along the line that whichever side you go to, there's sufficient power and strength to make sure that the other side never dominates, but must always recognize that you're there as well.
Interesting. So it's almost like a partnership of energy versus a direct energy. Is it kind of like?
Yeah. Well, it's a collaboration of energy from both sides of the veil, from all polarities, so that you say like the dark and the light. Dark, from the reconnection standpoint, doesn't necessarily mean evil. It means more like the realms of the unseen. We're in the dark about it. The light has more to do with conscious, revealed truth, and so on and so forth. So
you meditate in the dark. When you go to when I find, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, and I'm sorry because you seem so knowledgeable, and I have so many questions built up over the years. This only occurred to me about a year ago in August. And so it was a very dramatic change to me. I now read things, see things differently, think differently. It's made everything simple for me because I really know the purpose of human nature, of myself, and what's important and what's not. And the simple things become even simpler, and the complicated seem fairly simple now because I look at it a little differently. Mm-hmm. But
you've had
in
an
your
experience.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. I wish everybody could feel what I felt just instantly, spontaneously, like a 100th monkey dynamic. Keep thinking the more people listen to this radio network, sooner or later they're going to reach a point where they're going to spontaneously combust, and there's nothing they can do about it. And that would just be wonderful. At night, I meditate while it's dark, and I keep on thinking, well, in this setting that I seem to feel comfortable meditating, which isn't right or wrong, it depends on the energy is, there's not really a lot of light. Now, I can project, I can think and immediately create a sun around my head and project light all around me and feel like I'm in living light. But in most cases, it's meditating in the dark. Is there a preference to yourself? Do you meditate in the dark? Do you find that during those you might be more naked?
Yes, actually, and sometimes more comfortable with the feeling self. You know, when you see the yin-yang symbol,
yeah.
the white part has to do with the light, the dark part has to do with the dark side of the mountain. Masculine connected with light, and the feminine connected with the darkness, and the darkness being that womb, that opening, that open place of containment where you feel safe and where you feel comfortable to just feel and be and do all that and not worrying about what others are thinking about you or what you have to get done, and so on. It was that way, I grew up in Long Beach, California, where the sun and the surf and the temperatures and the hustle bustle. At some point in my life, when I was about 24, I went through kind of an internal crisis where I realized I was not in the right place.
Cool.
And so I moved to Seattle, Washington, where there's a lot of cool and dark up here, and since coming up here and the peace and the sense of really calm that I get from this place, I call myself a shade plant. I need to be in the cool and the wet, and that's where I function well. But I have friends who are desert rats, and they go crazy if they come up here because the feminine energy is so strong. So they got to run back to the desert and cool out, or warm up or whatever you want to call it.
Danny, you're one of the few people I've met on. I would encourage every single person that's listening to this show, please go to the website of Danny's, check it out, check out the information. The very few people that I would ever ask a million questions of, but I connected with you instantly, Danny. I'm thankful for the time you've offered me. Sadly, at this particular moment, I got a conference call I've got to take in about 10 minutes, so I got to prepare. But Donald, I love you.
Doug,
Danny,
I love you too, my brother.
Me. thank you all, and good night.
Good night, Doug.
You did well. Thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, he's a bundle of fun, too. You really hang out with some neat people there, John.
You know, my twin brother, you got to hand it to him. He's been my life, my entire life, and I love him dearly. We've done everything together from day one on. Worked together, went to school together, lived together. Our lives are just one. I guess we're kind of like a mini example.
You're a mini example of like a phase shift in motion. You know, he can wear one side and you can wear the other, and then
yes,
you can switch sometimes, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it reminds me of that head with the two faces on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pointing in different directions, but yeah. But we see eye to eye on most things. We're very close.
Well, he's had an experience, and it's sort of like in that movie Contact, where Jodie Foster looked at all those skeptics, and, you know, they were saying, how can you tell us that this is true? And she says, I've had an experience. I know it's true.
Exactly.
And until a person has an experience, what's the saying someone says? And if someone can see, no explanation is necessary. And if a person can't see, no explanation will suffice.
Exactly.
And so sometimes it's just you got to give them time and give them space so that they can peel away the veil of forgetfulness, and they start, once they make contact personally, then all this stuff comes rushing in, and, you know, you just sit back and smile because it's its own perpetuating, ongoing journey.
It's, you know, I said to Wynn before that the new energies that are in place, you know, just a lot more of them, they tend to be very transformative and, you know, the transformation and integration type of energies. And they're, you know, very peaceful, wonderful new energies. And they seem to be, well, global.
Yeah.
Global, yeah. So
one of the good things about my work is I'm in constant contact with people around the world via the internet and phone calls. And because the website got so active during the time of the 9/11, we developed an international community, and we've done conclaves in various parts, Scotland, Glastonbury, and we just did one in Sedona last October. And trying to move around and get different viewpoints, different people to come out and share their feeling about this common information base we're all operating from.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's pretty much the same all over. People have their regional distinctions, but what they're going through, what we're all going through, is it's a worldwide thing. It's just not an American thing or a Japanese thing or an English thing.
That's right.
It's pretty much the same, and that's what makes it exciting for it, me.
Yes. Well, exactly, because it's almost measurable. It's palatable. I mean, you can feel it. And, you know, my brother and I have been, you know, meditating for quite some time, and we both, you know, there's a lot of experiences. I mean, many people have. I'm sure we have a lot. But the ones that coming now, the newer ones, if you allow yourself the openness to just be in, you know, really feel these moments, and like you're saying, try to keep the past out of it and just allow it to begin and be happy, be joyous. Wow, the dynamic, the energy that really, it almost starts to envelop you, then your room, then your home, then everything around you. It really kind of bleeds out.
I kind of laugh and say it metastasizes. It's like a virus. It moves, only instead of messing things up, it sort of brings them together.
Exactly. Well, tell us a little bit about some of your recent information, some of the information that you've received that maybe is you think might be really important to our audience.
Yeah, the other thing that I didn't mention, I said I had two websites, and the oneness and multidimensionality information, birth changes and so on, is www.reconnections.net. And
right.
I made an exciting encounter in 1997 when I contacted another group soul called the Star Children. And we do have another website called www.thestarchildren.com. And that was created shortly after I I put together a two-part CD that explains the story of the star children.
Right.
But we're talking basically about children of the new earth, indigos, crystals, star children, and then there's many others too, dolphin children, amethyst children, and so on and so forth. Children of Now, I think, is a current name that they're using. But what it is it's basically the discovery of our own magical child within. And if we're old, you know, if we're older folks, we call ourselves star elders or indigo elders. We may have still have parts of us that we've forgotten about when we were growing up, when we were young, and maybe we weren't in the most supportive environment for being psychically aware or for being tuned in. And so maybe parents or teachers tend to put us off from where we are. And the Star Children is about, the website is about opening up people's minds to the incredible streams of power that are coming into these kids now as they're coming onto the planet, the young ones and also those who are, 30, 35. So that's Generation X, and they're coming on
strong,
into their own
very
life.
Strong,
very
yes.
strong now.
I have four
so we're
kids.
We're doing a lot of work with that.
Yeah. This the my youngest boy, he's 1 year old, and I'll tell you, I've never seen the like. I have three kids. One's 8, one's 6, one's 4. But this one-year-old, I've never seen anything talk so fast in full sentences, move, learn, adhere. It's so amazing I would stutter if I even tried to explain it. It's really that remarkable.
Many of them are born completely aware. Like, they didn't have the veil put in too much. If it's there, it's as thin like a communion wafer.
Yeah.
And they have full remembrance of who they were in other places and who their parents were and how they all know each other. And the parents just stand back there with their mouths open.
Yeah, it's remarkable. The kids are remarkable these days. And that's
one friend talked to a waiter down in L.A. He says these kids come in, they're 2 to 4 years old, and he asks them what they're ordered for, and they give it to him telepathically. He said, I'm not even telepathic, but all of a sudden I'm getting the peanut butter sandwich, and I'll have some cheese soup. And he goes, these are the only ones that this happens with, he says. And it's as more and more people find out about this, it's going to be quite a deal. It hasn't quite hit the mainstream yet, but it's close.
Yes. Well, we do have Winfrey back with us, believe it or not, and it sounds like
he
he's got
out of his dark tunnel.
He has his line fixed, yeah.
Yay. Hi, Win.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Now, I have no idea what you guys have been talking about, except I was thinking all the time you were talking, I said, this guy is a premature crystal child. Meaning
who's
you.
Who's that?
Meaning you were a premature crystal child.
Well, you know, I can go with that. The crystal children are powerful.
Yeah.
And I know that I've been writing about star children, but what are crystals but stars that are buried in the earth, and what are stars but crystals that are hanging in the sky, you know?
Mm.
And it's like we all drink from the same cup of energy, although our focus might be a little different, you know?
Mm.
But thank you. I consider that a big compliment, Wynn.
Well, you know what? You have very, very clean energy.
I agree. In fact, I was remarking on that when we first connected, his energy is clean, it's pure, it's a vibrant love, really.
Well, I just took an energy shower. I'm not always this clean.
Well, you know, you can always, I think, people's energies, you know, it can really tell you whether they're trying to be of the highest service to themselves and everything around them, or they're not.
You know, I have a theory, which I think is accurate, and it has to do with someone like myself, and even perhaps Don, we've probably had a lot of lifetimes in this realm screwing up. Now, what that does is it gives us wisdom that can help people who are working at the lower levels.
Absolutely.
Sometimes the crystal children, they can be there and vibrate, you know. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. They can vibrate love into their environment. They're like pure love. But they may not have gone through all the dark realms, which means they can lift the environment energetically. but they don't know how to go into the realm and help a person process their karma.
Absolutely.
So to speak. Now, I'm sure there's a hugely wide differentiation, you know, when where every person is an individual. But one of the reasons that we have these, as I've come to understand it, one of the reasons that we have these special children coming in is because we're in this very high energetic flow radiating from the Hunab Ku, the center of the galaxy, and that energy changes DNA, and the DNA is coming in with more strands open, which allows souls to come in who would be more evolved.
Yeah.
And so it's all tied together.
Yeah, they're wired for 220 or 440 instead of just 110.
Right, exactly.
And many of the things they do, like multi-track thinking, you know, or groupthink, you know, many of them, when you hang out with them, you're just infused with this energy of excitement and internal connection.
Mm-hmm.
They also can look at a person and they can break them down and discover whether or not they're sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that self-protection. Some mm-hmm. of them are even being watched by the government. But that's all right. I hope the government watches them a lot. But they sometimes need to know whether or not it's safe to exercise a power or share a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
But many of them, after having read the
most of them usually
of
somehow are. So sorry about that. Most of them usually are somehow aware of that, because even my son told me a story which I didn't think he wanted to tell me, but it took a while, and he was so young, he could barely say anything. And when he told me the story, it was so fantastic. And the synchronicities that led to the story and then him telling me the story were just fantastic. And it was like, I don't know, pulling teeth. I mean, he almost seemed disappointed. Like he turned away, went to a corner room, stood there for a while, thought about it. I came over. It was unlike him. I put my hand on him and then he sat down and told me.
It's nice that you provided a safe and understanding patient environment for him to do that, because he was really birthing a knowing.
Yeah,
you were his midwife, you know.
Yes, thank you. Well said. But they have extraordinary stories, you know, if you listen, and things they say, and the looks that they give, and the things that they think. Amazing. Wynn?
Yes, sir?
How are you holding out? How are you holding out?
I'm holding out.
Yeah, we kept you off the air for quite some time.
He says you're holding out on us.
Good for you.
Unmuzzle your wisdom.
John, it's good to keep me off the air.
Well,
that way you can hog the whole show.
So do you work with a lot of children? Do you spend a lot of time working with children?
Well, not so much children, but the ones who are most attracted to me are between like 18 and 35.
Right.
So I get the write-ins I get are people who are 20, 25, who are having amazing experiences and have really no place to share it.
Yeah.
And so I am very happy to listen to stories, and a lot of times people will say, oh my God, you're going to think I'm so crazy. And I go, well, if you're crazy, there's about 10,000 people over here that are just as crazy. But just to be able to tell it and not have someone, you know, look at them with a fisheye and offer them medication is a real great environment for them. And I actually was talking with a great star kid over in England here not too long ago, who is visualizing the development of a transitional community where people could come when they're going through their opening, you might say their birthing of their cosmic self or their expanded self, because not everybody's ready to open, you know, their veils of forgetfulness are still wrapped tightly, they're involved in their little limitation dance, and hey, there's nothing wrong with that, that's
right.
What we came here to do.
Yes.
But when it starts to come on them, you know, it's just so nice to have a place where you know that people understand, you can go through whatever you have to go through and not be judged or ostracized because of it.
Well,
or
exactly.
Worse, you know, not to have someone cram a bunch of dogma down your throat.
Well, you know, that's before we leave off here, I just want to say, people, you know, check out reconnections.net, of course. Reconnections. You really check it out. Spend some time on that website because it was well done. A lot of information. And get to know the works of Daniel. Because, Daniel, I think you're just like kind of like me. You're the average guy with... I'm not, you know, I can't say that. I don't know what average is anymore. But the guy who somehow just put it all together. You just put it all together and you're comfortable.
I'm that guy who stands and points.
well, but
hey, look at that.
Again, you put it together and you're comfortable. I feel a great comfort level in you.
Yes, I am comfortable with it.
Yes, and you know, getting to that point is remarkable in and of itself, believe me.
Doesn't mean I don't have some things to blow what's left of my hair back. You know, sometimes I get flummoxed like everyone else, but then, you know, you integrate, you spend a little time and it gets easier.
Yes. Yes. Well, there's about three people I know that have your similar kind of energy. And, you know, we're all good friends, and I'd like to continue this relationship with you, and I'd like to continue to get to know you and have you back on the air.
Yeah,
absolutely. And next time we might even be able to do a better job for you, get all on landlines and have it all as clear as we can get it. But again, this is the Dawn and Wind Show, and our audience has come to expect our lunacy, which we love because we're, you know, we just love to have fun. And we don't really care much about the lines that come in and out because we're really not about the professional end on our particular program. It's more about, you know, I guess, gabbing. Because I don't know if people really learn anything important from our show, but... They might. Let's hope.
Well,
they
you
do.
Know, it's sometimes you're accompanied. If you've got this vibration about oneness, there are chaotic things that happen just so that the energy signature of chaos can be part of it.
You know, I agree with that 1,000%. Thank you.
And there's form and there's chaos, and the two of them dancing together is what makes for power.
That's right.
You know, within the chaos, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I was hoping you'd call in the light because we've got about 1 minute, and then I got to cut us off.
Oh, that's okay. We're only going to make Fred Bell late, and he doesn't mind.
Yeah.
Bring on the next guy. We'll keep the party going.
Okay. I want to ask one quick question. Okay.
Okay.
And Daniel, maybe sometime if we get relaxed enough here, we can have the reconnection group address our audience.
Yes, that's possible.
That's possible. You know, one of the things that I've learned is that these groups can come into this realm as light energy.
Yes.
Not just a voice through somebody, but they can penetrate the veil. And so I have been working, going back and forth between talking to them, having them come in as light energy. And so we close this show asking those higher groups from other realms who are service to others and the Christ of energy to join with our audience at the very close. So
the recon said to tell you that they will speak individually now to those who want to have it happen. So if anyone in the audience would like to hear from the reconnections, just go inward and ask and you'll get an answer.
Okay, so our ritual is calling in of the light, and this is Lynn Free with Don Newsom and Daniel Jacobs. We thank Daniel for being our guest tonight. We thank you all for listening.
Thank you, guys.
And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, each listener, all over the world, right at this moment. And we see ourselves in this flow of energy radiating from the center of our universe, from original creation, through the center of our galaxy, through our solar system, through our etheric energies around the Earth, into each of us, for those of you that are open to it, and into the center of the Earth. We're doing this right now, and we establish, for those that are open, a great group energy amongst everyone listening right in this moment. If you listen to the silence in between my words, you'll feel that energy. And we invite those groups, all those groups on the other side who are service to others, who are in the Christed light, coming from oneness, to join with us. And at this moment, we take a moment of silence, put the people you have prayers for, and take this energy and think of that person. We send this light to those trouble spots of the world, like the Middle East, to Washington, D.C., to every major city in our country, to your families, to your friends, and we ask for all the support and prayers from all those sources on the other side, as well as each other, to shift this world as it goes through its transitions. This is another night on the Don and Wynn Show. My name is Wynn Free. Thank you for being here. Thank our guests, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in, everybody, and thank you, Daniel, very much for being on the program. Again, folks, that's reconnections.net. Check out the website. Do get to know the information. Folks, we got a fabulous show coming up for you next. It's, of course, Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. So stick around. It'll be up in about, a minute and a half. Don't go anywhere.
I love you.